Begin the current daven mesedus b'metziyah daf tzadi beis. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the yamid. The Gemara continues with the next mishnah in the series of this topic regarding the halacha that a worker could eat from the produce that he's working with. So the mishnah begins: Eichel payel kishois. A worker could eat a cucumber, a fila, even if it's worth bediner, which is a lot of money because a cucumber is an expensive item. So too kisevis, he could eat dates. Even if it's worth a dinner, even if it's worth a lot of money, still the Torah permits him to consume that which he's working with. He says, "Lo yechel poyel yes al schar." A worker is not allowed to eat more than what his wage is, which the Gemara later on is going to learn now from Kenaf Shecha, which is the halacha that we learn now, like what you need for the payment of providing for your soul. In other words, where a person actually is moisu nefesh, he gives up his life to go up on top of a tree or in a dangerous place to provide, but that's generally for what's necessary for his livelihood. It's that amount that the Torah permitted him, like it says, kenaf shecha, for him to go ahead and eat. But something that's more than his wage, which is something expensive, that actually is not allowed to eat more than what his wage is actually. Now, v'chacham matim, however the sages say, it's permitted, and you are allowed to consume even more than what is the wage that you're working for. Now, avol malam nesa'odim, but they teach a person, and they shouldn't be a glutton, someone that has a huge appetite, because he's going to have the door slammed in front of his face, because no one's going to hire him for work anymore, because you're working for $10 wage, and you consume the $100 worth of food, and therefore, that they permitted, but we teach the guy not to go ahead and do that. Now the Gemara asks, Chacham ha'ni tanakama. The Chacham is the same as tanakama. Rabbi Elazar Chisma was one that said that you can't consume more than you work. But the Tanakama and the Chacham both say it's permitted. So what's the difference? So Ikminayu Ava Malamdin. The difference between them is this concept of that we teach, that we tell him good advice and good counsel, say, look, you're allowed to, but don't do it because no one's gonna hire you anymore. The Tanakama, less Limalamdin, Tanakama doesn't say that idea where we let a guy figure it out the hard knocks of life on his own. The Rabbanan Islu Malamdin, the second opinion, that of the Chachamim, they hold that you're allowed to, just like Tanakama, but they say that we tell the person, hey, don't do that because you're not going to get hired out. That's one interpretation. Ibai say, more if you want, you could say, Ikibinai Duravasi. The difference between them would be the Allah of Ravasi. Because the Amr Ravasi, Ravasi said, Afil lay sechari, el livtzer eshkel echad. Even if someone was hired just to pluck one cluster of grapes, oich loy, he could eat that cluster of grapes. Now, the difference would be, in other words, the Tanakama would hold like the Halacha Ravasi. Because what does the Tanakama say? Tanakama says, Poyel oich lekishis. A worker could eat cucumber, even if that's the only cucumber he's working for and nothing more. And even if it's worth a dinner. Now, that Rabbi Elazar comes to say that no, whether if he's only working for one cucumber or whether he's working even for many cucumbers, if it's worth more than what he's getting paid, then he's not allowed to eat it. Now, that come the later Chachamim, and they say that no, it's not true. Even more than his pay, he's allowed to eat if he's being hired for the whole day. But if he's being hired to take just one cucumber, then that they disagree with Ravasi, and they say, not like the Tanakama, that you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat that one kishas itself, but yes, you're allowed to eat more than what you get paid for. Now, V'am Ravasi, another halacha that Ravasi says, similar to this first one, the Gemara doesn't explain why they're both necessary, is if someone was hired for the whole entire day, afil le'batzer ele eshkel echad, even if he only plucked so far one cluster of grapes, eichloi, he's permitted to eat that first cluster of grapes that he picked. So the Gemara says, "Retzricha, we needed both of these halachas of Ravasi. Diash minahach kamaisa, had you only had the first halacha of Ravasi, which was that if you're eating only hard to pick one cluster, you could go ahead and eat that cluster, is mishum delo ikka lamesav lekelev shalbala bayis, is because there are no other clusters to put into the vessel of the owner that we should tell the worker that first put into the owner's vessel, and then eat, because if he's going to put into the owner's vessel, then he's going to have nothing left to eat. And the Torah says, when you're hired to work, you're allowed to eat what you're working for. So that's why maybe Ravasi says that you could eat that one cluster you hired to work for. But if there are other clusters, that is that you could put into the owner's vessels and still have what to eat. Same, and then I would say, that maybe he should first have to put into the owner's vessel, and then he's allowed to eat. That's what you have to say the second halacha, that no, even if you're hired for the whole day and you can have many clusters, even the first cluster you could eat before you put into the owner's vessel. Navish min Baha, had we only said the second halacha of Rav Asi, then I would say, yeah, because the Esther l'kiyumah l'b'sayif. You're allowed to eat the first cluster of grapes because ultimately you will fulfill your task that you're hired for because you'll put in the remaining clusters into the owner's vessels. But if you're never going to have, you're only hired for one cluster, and if you're going to eat it, you're going to have nothing that you're going to put in. You're not going to accomplish the job that you even were hired for because you're not going to put anything into the owner's vessels. Then I would say that actually then the Torah does not merit to the worker to eat because it's only if he's putting into the owner's vessels, then he's allowed to eat. That's why we needed also the first halacha of Rav Asi. That's why both these halachas of Rav Asi were necessary. So that was what would be the difference between the Tanakam and the Chacham. Or if you want, you could say a third interpretation of the difference between the Tanakam and the Chacham. The difference between them would be the halacha of Rav. The Amar Rav, Rav said, Matzasi Megillah Sesarim Bei Reb Chiya. I found a hidden scroll in the house of Reb Chiya, which was because before Reb Yehuda Anasi had put all the Mishnayos together, and then later on they put the Gemara together, it was forbidden to write down halachas. It was Torah Shabbat Peh, it was the oral law. So, but when a tzaddik, when a Chatam HaChacham, when he heard something novel and he was afraid he was going to forget it, so he would write it down, but then he would conceal it from the eye because you're not allowed to have it in a public written way. So Rav says that I found such a hidden scroll in the house of Reb Chiya. V'kasabah, and said the following halacha. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, he says, quoting a pasuk in Devarim, says, Kisavi beker me'acha, which talks about this halacha of a worker being able to eat from what he's working from, says, Kisavi beker me'acha, when you come into the vineyard of your friend, says Isi ben Yehuda, you know what that means? Bebiyas kol adam akasam adaber. The Torah is talking about any single person who enters into the vineyard of another person, even if he wasn't hired by the guy, he could eat from what he's working from. Now, I'm a Rav, and it was regarding to that halacha that Rav said, Leishavik Isi chayel choberya, that Isi is not allowing any person to survive. Because that means to say anybody who wants to could walk into someone else's vineyard and work and just eat. And everyone's going to be consuming more than all the stuff are going to be eaten up. So that was Rav's halacha in reproach to what Isi's halacha was. Now, Rav Ashi, the Gemara first continues the narrative. Rav Ashi said, Amrita Lishmaita Kamed Rav Kahana. I said this teaching of Rav in front of Rav Kahana, who Rav had a problem with this halacha of Isi, saying, how can you say that whoever wants it could come in, the guy would not survive? And Rav Ashi says, I explained in front of Kahana, Dilma Bo Isin Besudasam. Maybe what Isi meant in this halacha of the interpretation of the Pasig is regarding people that are working for their meal, meaning the Avdu Va'achlu. They don't just come in and eat. Isi didn't give a blanket permission for anyone to just walk in and eat. It meant that whoever wants could come in and work and eat. So then why not? Why is that so bad? Why is that so problematic? That Rav says that Leishavik Isi Chai L'choberya. On that, Omali, that Rav Kahana said to me, Rav Ashi says, Afil hachi. No, even so, Rav has a good point. Nichale le'inish le'oguri oguri v'niktefe le'pardise. A person would prefer to hire his own workers and that way have his orchard being picked. V'le'inesi kule alma v'achle, and doesn't want anyone who ever wants to come in and eat from his stuff, even if they're coming to work. And therefore, Rav said that we're not leaving any room for any person to survive. So, regarding this halacha of Isi, which was what Rav had a problem with, is what we could say is a machlekes chacham and tanakam in our Mishnah. And that is the way Rashi explained it. The Tanakama doesn't hold like the halacha of Isi. Why? Because what are the words of the Tanakama? It says, Eichel Pail, that a worker could eat, which sounds like only a worker, not whoever wants to, could come in and work and eat. You have to be someone that you hired, which is what a Pail is. Whereas the Rabban and Basrai hold like Isi. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, V'chacham Matirim, the Chacham permit, that they could eat more than what they're being hired for. And the reason for that is because even if you're not hired, you could eat. So for sure, if you are hired, you could eat more than you were hired for, and therefore that's how a third interpretation we could explain is the Machlokes on the Kama and the Chacham. Continuing on these halachas, the Gemara has the following question. Ibailahu Payel Mishalayhu Eichel. When a worker eats from the food that he's eating, which is besides the wage that he's getting paid for, is he eating from his own? In other words, is it an add-on to the wage that he's getting? That's what the Torah is adding on. So essentially, it's his own money, just like the wage that he's getting. That this is part of the wage, so it's his own stuff. No, or is it just like a gift from heaven, where the Torah says, just like the Torah says, you have to give gifts to the poor. You have to give gifts to your worker, but it's not his own stuff. It's just the Torah lets him eat. So the Gemara said, what's the halachic relevancy? What is the difference if it's his own or from Shemayim? Is the Amar, it would be in a situation where he says, Tenu, give what I'm allowed to eat le'ishti ubanai, to my wife and to my children. And that is as follows. If you say that it's his own stuff, the Torah is like, it's like a wage, add on to his wage. It's his own money, it's his own stuff, that's what he's allowed to eat. So then yavinlu. Then he could give it to his wife and children, just like he could give them the wage that he's getting paid for the job that he's doing to whoever he wants to. He could give this to his wife and his children. But if you say that it's not his own stuff, it's that heaven allows him to go out and eat it, then it's only for him that the Torah permitted in a way of charity. But as long as it doesn't come to his hand, meaning that he didn't eat it yet, so then he doesn't have any rights in it to give it to other people, to his wife and to his kids. So it's to his wife and his children that the Torah did not give those rights to. And therefore, what's the halacha? Is it mishelohu aichel or mishel shemayim? Could he give it to his wife and children or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Oichel payel kishas vafilu bedina. The Tanakhama said that a worker could eat cucumbers even if it's a very expensive item, worth a dinner. Kesevis vafilu bedina, a date, even if it's very expensive, it's worth a dinner. One being a fruit, one being a vegetable. So on that says the Gemara, Iyamit mishalayhu oichel. If you say that the worker, when he eats from the fruits that he's working, it's his own stuff that he's eating, so then I don't understand. Oigur bedanke, he's getting paid, he's a laborer, he's getting paid cheap labor. So he's getting hired for a small currency called a danka. And ochel bezuza? And what, you think he's going to be able to eat something expensive like the Tanakhama permits him, like a cucumber or like a date? What, do you think the add-on can be more than the primary wage that he's getting? Obviously, that it's mishal shemayim. And that's the Gemara response. Wait, ve'elamai, so what do you want to say? It can't be mishal lahi oichel. So you want to say mishal shemayim oichel. It must be a gift that's from heaven. Well, Saif says Gemara, ultimately, Eiger bedanka ochel bezuz. You have the same question. What, he's getting hired for a danka, and then the Torah permits him to eat something worth a zuz, more than what he's even getting paid for? Elamayas lechamem. Rather, what do you have to say? Rachman azochle, that the Torah, yes, it merits it to him. Zachanam, Rachman azochle. So it's no question. You could even say Mitchalehu Eichel, and yes, the Torah merits him something more of a wage than what his actual primary wage is. So then I said, Toshim, let's try to bring a different raya from our Mishnah. The next opinion. Rabbi Elazar Chisma, he said that lo yechol poel yesal schar, that the worker cannot eat more than what he's getting paid. The chacham matirim, but the chachamim, they permit it. Says the Gemara, my lav b'hakim ifli. What is the machlekes between Rabbi Elazar Chisma and the chachamim? Obviously, it's this point that what the mar saver Rabbi Elazar Chisma holds mishalayhu aichel, that the worker, what he eats, is eating from his own wage. And therefore, he's not allowed to eat more than what his wage is, because you're right, the logic is you can't have the add-on be more than the primary wage itself. Whereas the Marsa of the Chum held, no, Mishel Shemaim Hu'eichel, that no, that's not part of his wage. His wage is one thing, and then there's a gift from heaven. And that, the gift from heaven could be, yeah, it could be more than what the wage is. So therefore, this question that we have is actually Machlokes in our Mishnah. And this is Gemara Loi, no. The Kul Amin Mishalehu Eichel, we could actually say that everyone holds that what the worker eats is from his own wage. So what's the Machlekes? If it's from his own, didn't it sound like that everyone then should hold like a Beleza Chisman, that it can't be more than what you're getting paid? And that the Gemara says, no, B'hacha B'kenaf Shecha K'milfaki. Their Machlekes is how to interpret the word in the Pasuk of the Parsha that talks about the worker eating. The word is there, it says, when he's going to come into the vineyard of your friend and you're going to eat the grapes, K'naf Shecha, like your, literally, like your soul, like your desire, savecha is your satiation, v'lekelech elisit, and you can't put into your vessel. What does that word mean? So that, says the Gemara, is what they're arguing about. Mar sarba kenafshecha, Beleza Chisma holds that the word kenafshecha is bedavr shemayser nafshelav, meaning literally like his soul, like his life, like something that he gives up his life for. In other words, what is that? Where when someone's getting hired to work, he literally gives up his life. Workers go on ramps and they go up on top of trees, and he's putting himself in a dangerous position where he might die. That is how much he gets paid. That's what a person gives up his life, because he needs to provide for his family, how much his wage is. That is how much you're allowed to eat from, kenafshecha, how much you would give up your life for, which is your wage. That's how much you're allowed to eat, but not more than that. But Amar Sava kenafshecha, but the Chum, they interpret the word differently, therefore they don't have that limitation. They learn a different halacha. Man nafshecha, it's coming to teach that just like yourself, it's talking to the owner. Just like yourself, im chasamta pater, if you muzzle yourself when you're working in your own stuff, you can put yourself on a diet and not eat from something that you're working with. Av poyel im chasamta pater, so it's coming to say, just like you, so to the worker, if you muzzle him, although you're not supposed to, then you're going to be exempt. So that's halacha that we learn now from it, but not as a limitation of how much you're allowed to eat, and therefore they hold that it's permitted as much as a person wants to eat. So again, therefore, there's no resolution. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following brisa to answer this question. Is it Mishiloi Huaychu or Mishal Shamayim? The brisa says, Nazir, a Nazir who is forbidden to consume grapes, that's one of his halachas of the Nazir. So Sha'ama that he says, Tanu, and the gear says, La'ishti Ubanai, give it to my wife, to my children. So ain't Shaymalai. So we don't listen to him, and they're not allowed to eat it. So on that, asks the Gemara, but if you would entertain to say that what the worker eats is his own stuff, so why don't they listen to him? If it's own, that's what we said would be the nafkamin before, that if it's his own, he's allowed to give it to his wife and children. So that the Gemara says, no, hasam over there, the reason why, yeah, the Nazir is not allowed to eat because he's working by the vineyard and he wants to give it to his wife and children, that's mishum leich leich amri nazir. That's because we tell the Nazir, go, sechur sechur, around and around, but lekarma leisikrav, don't go near the vineyard. In other words, you're right, it's halachically, it is mishalai, we could say. And we say that he could really give it to his wife and kids. But that case is different because it's a rabbinic penalty because we don't want him to hire himself out working in the vineyard. You don't belong near a vineyard. You're a Nazir. You're someone that has problems with wine and grapes, and therefore you don't go near it. And therefore, if you are, that's a rabbinic penalty. But maybe we would say that actually the basic halacha would allow his wife and kids because mishaloi hu aichel. So the Gemara tries to bring a different raya, tashema, similar type of a raya. We learn the brisa, payel sha'amar tenula ishti abana. If a worker says, give to my wife and kids, ain't shemele. We don't listen to him. Says the Gemara, v'yamrit mishaloi hu aichel. If you say that he eats from his own, amayin shemeloi, why don't you listen to him? Didn't we say that if you hold mishaloi, that's the point, that then he could go ahead and give it to his wife and kids, and you see you can't? That's the Gemara. No, my pile, what does this Tana the Brisa mean when he says a worker? He means a Nazir. He means a Nazir that's working who he can't eat because he's a Nazir. And he says, give it to his wife and children. We don't listen to him because of the Knas, but not because of Mishal Shemayim Hu'eichel. Now that the Gemara asks, but Ratanya Nazir, Ratanya Payel. But how can you say that when it says worker, it means a Nazir? There's a different Brisa that says Nazir. Obviously here, when it says worker, it means a regular worker. That says the Gemara, what do you mean? Midi gabe adadi tanya? Do you think these two Brises were taught one after another that obviously Payel doesn't mean Nazir? One Tana wrote it like this, and one Tana wrote it like this, but they're both referring to a Nazir. So the Gemara says, Tashima, come in, let's try to bring a similar type of a raya. The Brisa says, Minayin shepoyel sha'amat tenu le'ishti yubanei she'in shemalei. The Brisa says, how do we know that if a worker says, I want you to give what I could eat to my wife and children, that we don't listen to him? Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, it says, the Pasuk in Devarim be'al kel yecholoi sitin, that you're not allowed to put it into your vessels. We only let you eat, but you can't do anything else with it. You can't take it to an offshore account. You can't go ahead and put into your vessel, give it to your wife and kids. Now, says the Gemara, v'chitei mahachinami nazir. Now, so obviously it's pretty clear that a worker can't tell to give it to his wife and kids. Now, so if you're going to say the same thing we answered before, that no, it's talking about a nazir. Now, ihachi, but then the Gemara says, if that's the case, mishum el kalyecho leisitin, then why does the Brisa say the reason why he can't do it to give it to his wife and kids is because of the pasuk that you can't put into your vessel? Mishum leich lechamin in the ziru, but you said the reason why he can't give it to his wife and kids is for a different reason, is because it's a penalty for the Nazir because we don't want to be an employee in a vineyard. So the Gemara says, no, ein lechanami, you're right, the real reason is because of a knas for a Nazir. But since the time of this Brisa, as the previous Brisa, when it's referring to a Nazir, used the term of worker, so kenasiv law, so the time of the Brisa used a kra, the poil, a pasuk that talks about a worker, but you're right, really it's a rabbinic law, and it's a penalty because we don't want a Nazir working in a vineyard. And the pasuk that's being used is just what's known as an esmach b'ami, it's just an allusion to the halacha, but really, again, there's no proof. We could say that it is mishalai hu'aychel, and the reason why it can't is because it's a nazir, and the pasuk was just brought because of a smach that just alludes to this halacha, but really it's a rabbinic law of a knas for a nazir. So the Mishnah says, Toshim, I'll try to bring a different raya from a Mishnah Masechtas Ma'isus. The Mishnah says, ha'seicher esapoyel lekatzes b'te'en. If someone hires a worker to dry up the figs in the field, which you make it into what's known as kitzias, those are the dried figs that they would have. So if someone hires a worker to do this, so we continue to Tamid Beis, says the Mishnah, Hariza Eichel, so the worker could eat from it, and moreover, Upatim in a Maisa. He's even exempt from separating Maises from what he's eating, because since it's still going to be dried out in the fields, so that's not considered yet Gemar Malach. It's not yet finished the production of these figs, and as we learned in the previous Tav, the Halach of Maisa is only when the production of the item has been finished. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say the worker says, I'm working for you to dry out these figs, and the condition that not only that I could eat, but also that my son could eat. Meaning, although my son is not working, he's not hired out to the owner, I want that not only that I could eat, but my son could also eat from it. Or he says, Shayechel b'ni b'schari. Or he says that, no, actually, I want my son to be able to eat instead of me. Says the Mishnah, who oichel upater? So the worker could eat and he's exempt from a separating meiser. And the reason for that is because the Torah merits to him this ability to eat from it. Just like leket shechepe, which are matnas anim, so to hear is a gift that's given to the worker, which are exempt from meiser. So to hear this is exempt from meiser. Ubenai oichel b'chayim. But a son, yes, since they stipulated that the son could eat it. But when what the son eats, he has to separate meiser. Because that's like a purchase, where although the item was not yet finished in the processing, as we learned in the previous daf, that makes it like a gemar, because it's something chashav enough that to create an acquisition, because it's not that the son gets to eat it min ha-Torah, it's really like a transaction. He's saying, okay, fine, I'll work for you, but that you have to give the rights to my son to eat it, so the son could eat it, but he's chayav v'maisah. Says the gemara, v'yamet mishalayhu oichel, if you'd entertain to say that the owner, what he eats from his own stuff. And moreover, here he is when he's a worker. In spite of that, the Torah says that he's exempt from separating meiser. Why? Because another thing we learn from the words kenafshecha that we darshan is just like a person himself. That if he eats from his produce that's not yet finished, he could eat from it in a temporary type of a way, and he's exempt from meiser. So to a worker, his kenafshecha is like you yourself that he could eat from it and he's exempt from meiser. So if you say that what the worker eats from is his own stuff, so benoya maichayev. So why is the son liable if he's eating from what his father is working and hard out for, but what he's eating is just like his father? His father is getting, it's part of the father's wage, and yet still the father is exempt from maaser, like we learned that from kenafshecha. Now the son is eating from his father, not from anyone else, it's just his father's stuff. And just like his father eats it, so too the son should be able to eat it. Why is his son chayv meiser? There's no mekach. It was always his father's things, and therefore he should be allowed to eat it. So Ravina says you're right, but it's mishum de mechzik mekach, because it looks like, gives the appearance of an acquisition. In other words, since he made the stipulation, and then he says, look, I want my son to be able to come onto the field and eat the stuff, so therefore it gives the appearance of an acquisition. But the father's own eating, which is not requiring a stipulation, although, yes, it's part of his pay, but it's still not similar to a mekach. And therefore, there kenafshecha, we say that he's allowed to eat it without separating meiser. But the son, although really it's from the father's, and the father, just like the son could eat it, the father could eat it, the son could eat it, but it has the appearance, since they stipulated that he's allowed to, therefore that is rabbinically why he has to separate meiser in contrast to the father. But it doesn't prove that Mishal Shemayim Ho'echel could even be Mishal Ho'echel. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya Toshima from a Mishnah on the next daf on Sadi Gimel and Aleph. Mishnah says, "Haseicher es apayel." Someone hires a worker. Lasis benite revaychalei, to work on the fruits of his tree that's in its fourth year. Halacha is the first 3 years the fruits are forbidden; they're called arla. The fourth year they have a certain sanctity that the fruits have to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten over there. So, if someone hires a worker to pluck those fruits, says the Mishnah, "Harei elu lo yoichlu." So these workers are not allowed to eat from these fruits, and the reason for that is because these fruits cannot be eaten out of Yerushalayim. They need to be within the walls of Yerushalayim. As we learn out Gzeir Shav from the word Kaidish by Netzer Avai and the word Kaidish by Meiser, just like Meiser Shein has to be taken up to Yerushalayim, so too Netzer Avai. Now, it was with that intention that he hired these workers. Now, says the Mishnah, but if he didn't notify the workers from the beginning that he's hiring them to work for Netzer Avai fruits, they think they're working with a regular permitted fruit tree, then it's his negligence. They thought they were coming and they're coming to eat because you could eat as you work and like, okay, great fringe benefits. But now they find out that they can't. So he has to redeem them, which is halacha you could do just like Maaser Sheni, so to Netzer Avai, you could transfer the sanctity of the fruits onto money, and then he takes the money up to Yerushalayim. And then he has to allow them to eat from the fruits that they're working with. Says the Gemara, v'yamet mishal shemayim ho'eich, but if you entertain to say that what a worker eats, he doesn't eat from his own stuff, he eats from heaven, so why do we say that the owner has to redeem them and then give it to the worker to eat? Isur le'zachel rachmana. What does that have to do with him? It has nothing to do with him. It's from Shemayim, that Hashem, that heaven, allows the worker to eat. This is forbidden fruits. Heaven did not permit this guy to eat from forbidden fruits. So what does that have to do with that? He wasn't notified. Fine, you weren't notified, but it's still chazer, it's still forbidden, it's still treif, it's something that's forbidden to you. So why does he have to go ahead and redeem it and give him and permit them to go out and eat from it? In other words, if it's mishalai, so you could say that, okay, it's part of the wage. So that's something that's a mekach tais. But here, what type of a mistake is it? So the Gemara says, you're right, but hasam, similar to the previous Gemara's answer, is mishum demechzik mekach tais. You're right. Really, it's mishal shemayim, and really shouldn't have to, but it looks like a mistake in acquisition, because had he notified them, they wouldn't have worked for them. He says, no way, I can go work somewhere else and be able to eat from the fruits all day. Here, I can't eat from anything that I'm working with. So it looks like a mekach tais, and that's why rabbinically we require him to redeem it and to give them to eat. So with that, the Gemara continues, says, ima seifas. Let's see the seif. If you're really saying that we could say mishal shemayim hu oichel, and if that's the case, why does it have to be paid to oichel? Because it looks like a mekach tais. But look at the end of that Mishnah, which will be another difficulty if you say mishal shemayim hu oichel. The Mishnah is discussing regarding what they used to do is they would take dried out figs and they would press them together in a round cake, which is called iguli devela, which we had in Eilim Metzias, the round cakes of the dried figs. Now, at that point in time, that's already the end of the process because even though it's being dried out, it's already dried out, it's already pressed into cakes, and therefore it already has the obligation of Maaser, which therefore there's no more permit for the person to go ahead and eat while he's working. But then they fell, and the sparsi gulav, the cake fell, and all the dried figs got spread out and fell down. And now the owner needs that, now he has a worker to have to go ahead and bring them back together and press them back together. So on that, the Mishnah over there says that hare elu lo yechlu, that the workers are not allowed to eat, because again, as we said, a worker is not allowed to eat something that already has gemar malacha, that already has the obligation of meiser, as we learned in the Braisa previously in the Pei Testament Aleph, that's excluded from the permit of eating while one's working. So if let's say the cake of dried figs got spread apart, or nispaschu chavyesov, or if someone already had his barrel sealed, but then what happened was that the seal was taken off, and now it all spilled out. Now the barrels, he needs that they should be closed up again. Says the Mishnah, hare'elu lo yechlu, these workers are not allowed to eat because this produce has already been finished gemar malacha, and therefore, it already has the obligation of Meiser. And therefore, there's no permit. The permit's only like regarding threshing, which is before Gemar Malacha. Now, says the Mishnah, again, Vim lo hidion. Now, if the worker, however, was notified, which the Gemara shortly is going to ask and say, what do you mean regarding the case of barrels? What type of notification? Obviously, if you're sealing a barrel, obviously the wine was already finished, which is already in the pit. And if it's in the barrel and you're just sealing it, obviously you know that you can't eat from it. It's already Gemar Malacha. But says the Mishnah, Vim lo hidion. If the worker wasn't notified, maybe, and he thinks that it's not Gemar Malach yet, so he thinks he could eat, so then Ma'aser Machilan, so then the owner has to go ahead and separate the types and then allow the worker to eat from these things. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, now, V'yamer Mishal Shemayim O'echel. Now, if it is, as you're trying to explain the ratio of that Mishnah, that it's talking about that you could say that even when the worker eats, he eats from a gift from heaven. So my master machilon, then why is it that the owner has to go ahead and separate tithes and give it to eat? Same question we had before. Isur lezochli rachmana. The Torah did not permit someone to eat something that's forbidden. We're here, it already had the gemar malach of a meiser. It has an obligation to be tithed. How could we let the worker eat without separating meiser? And therefore, since that's not something that's permitted, why should that be an obligation of the owner to separate tithes and have him eat? Now, says the Gemara, now v'chitam, and if you're going to say like we answered before, because it seems like a mistake in acquisition. What, the guy's coming to work, he thinks it's permitted stuff, he thinks he's going to have a field then eat as he's working, and then boom, he finds out he can't eat from there. So it seems like a mekach tais, and that's why the owner has to separate ma'itzer and then let him eat. And that's just the Gemara. Bishleima nisparsi gulav. You could understand and explain that in the case of when the cake of dried figs had fallen apart, that is a case of mechzik mekach tais. That, you could say, has the appearance of a mistaken acquisition on the part of the employee working and being hired out to the employer, because when he was originally notified and he said, the job entails, I want you to work for me to press these dried figs together into a cake of round figs, he thought that this was the first time they're being pressed together. That means to say that the work has never yet been completed, because the end of the completion of these figs are only when they're pressed together. So that makes sense to say, okay, so rabbinically, because of mechzik mekach tais, we tell the owner he has to separate maaser and let him eat. But regarding the case of an open barrel, which opened, now he needs him to seal it. What do you mean? The worker knows that it's already considered tevel of untithed, that already has the obligation of maaser, because the moment that the wine goes into the pit, from where they press it and they step in and it goes into the pit, that's already considered yayin with an obligation of maaser. So if it's in a barrel already, although the barrel is open, and it was closed and now it's open, now he has to close it again, Either way, even if it was the first time being closed, he knew already that it has the obligation of Maisa. So where's the Mechze Mekechtois? Why would we require the owner, if we say it's Mishal Shemayim Wa'ichel, and therefore it has nothing to do with him, to be Ma'aser, and then to go ahead and let him eat from it and drink from the wine? So Amar Rav Sheshis, he says, Shnespaschu Chabi Yosef Labar. This time we said that the barrel was open. It doesn't mean it was just open. It opened and it spilled back into the pit. And therefore the worker is being hired to go and take it from the pit and put it in the barrel and seal it, thinks it's the first time it's being taken out of the pit from when it went from where it's pressed into there. And that's why he thinks that he's going to be able to drink from the wine, because it wasn't yet finished the process. That's why it's Mechzik Mekechtais, and that's why you have to go ahead and let him drink from the wine. Not that the Gemara asked, but Vatani learned the Braisa, Yayin is considered wine completed the process. Mishayeirid Lebar, when it goes into the pit, is already considered the end of the process to be Chayv Maisa, and it's in the pit. So even if he doesn't know and he thinks it's the first time being in the pit, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, he should know, and that's the halacha, that it's already Chayv Maisa. So where's the Mechzi Mekechtois? I'll be here to explain it according to the opinion of the Mishal Shemaim Hu'eichel. So I think Gemara says, no Kira Bekiva. The Tana would be going like Rabbi Kiva, the Amma Mishi Kafa. Rabbi Kiva holds that actually wine is not considered yet the full product of wine once it goes into the pit. It's only when the wine ferments in the pit and then the peels rise to the top of the pit when it's fermenting, and then they take off the peels and they throw that away, that's when it's considered wine. The Amrule, where then the workers could tell the owner, Lo yavi yadinan, we didn't know that you already took off the peels from the surface, the foam of the wine, and therefore we thought that we're coming to work with wine when it just came in from the press, and therefore we would be allowed to drink wine, therefore it's a Mechzikim Mechatayis, and that's why the owner has to go ahead and be Ma'aser and let them drink the wine. So there was no Rai, the Mishalai Hu'aychel, it could be Mishal Shemaim, but it's a Mechzikim Mechatayis. But that the Gemara asked on this whole logic, but Vinemluhu, let the owner tell the workers, what do you mean? You should have entertained to think that when I told you I want to hire you to draw wine from the pit, then Dima Mekafa, you should have entertained to think, even if it wasn't the second time, even if it was the first time, you should have entertained to think that I already peeled off all the peels from the top. And since you didn't entertain, so you were agreeable to whatever the circumstances were, and therefore it's your fault, and it's your negligence, and therefore I shouldn't have to be ma'aisa, and it shouldn't even be like a mechzikim ekechtais, and he shouldn't have to let them drink from the wine. So I think Gemara explains that no, it's ba'aser dahu gavad the nugget. The custom of that locale is that the person that draws the wine from the pit to put into the barrel, ihu makafa, he's usually the one that scoops off all the refuse on the top. And therefore it makes sense why he should assume if I'm being hired to go ahead and get the wine out of the pit, although it's not the first time, it's really the second time, but he thought so, so it's a Mechzikim Mekechtais, and although that maybe he should have entertained, it's not true, he should not have entertained that it was already taken off, because generally in that place, whoever's the one that takes into the pit, from the pit into the barrels, he's the one that clears it off, and therefore it's not yet yain, and therefore he would be allowed to eat and drink from the wine before, even without taking off Maisa. Now, actually, the Gemara says one step even better. But now that Rav Zvid taught in the Braisa of the Yeshiva of Rav Hoshia, that says that actually Yayin Mishayirid Labar B'Yikafa, it's actually the Tanakama is the one that holds, that wine is only when it goes into the pit and the scum has been taken off. Rabbi Kiva says even more than that. He says Mishayishala B'Chavyos, says it's actually only considered wine, that it's a finished process to be Chayva Meiser, only once it was put into the barrels. And then in the barrels, then it ferments, and that fermentation goes to the top. And then there's some of that sediments that rise to the top. And before they close the barrel, then they take off what came to the top. That's when it's considered wine. So then says the Gemara, then we could even say, not like we had to answer before, to explain what's the Mechzik Mekechtais, because in the barrel, everyone knows that it's considered finished, no matter first time, second time. So we answered that, oh, it went into the pit, and then we said, okay, but even in the pit, so he didn't think that it was taken off the top. We could even say, it's talking about that it didn't even, when the cover fell off, it didn't mean that it fell off and then the wine spilled back into the pit, where it's even in the barrel. But the Amrle, that the workers could tell the owner, Lo yavei dina de meshali, we didn't know that you already took off the scum that comes to the top of the barrel, and wine, according to Rabbi Kiva, is not even considered wine, even if it's in the barrel, until the meshali. Now that thing I'm asked, but the name of the who, what do you mean? they could say that they didn't know. What do I mean? Let the owner tell the workers, you should have entertained to think that maybe it was already taken off. And the fact that you didn't inquire, you agreed to the context of the job, no matter what it is. And therefore, I shouldn't have to be ma'aser and let you drink from the wine. I think more answers like before, ma'aser dahud disharik. No, it's in the custom of that locale was that the one who closes the barrel is ahu mashali. He's generally the one that sweeps off the top of the stuff. And therefore he thought, if I'm being hired to go ahead and close the barrel, it's the first time. And that means to say the scum is still there, and therefore I could drink from the wine. And therefore now that he finds that he can't, it's a mechzikim mechachtais. And therefore even if we say mishal shemaim hu eichel, the owner would have to go ahead and separate ma'aser and let him drink from it. So therefore, there's no raya of Mishalai Hu Eichel. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshima, also from that Mishnah over there. The Mishnah says, Kaitzitz Adam, a person could stipulate that he wants to take monetary gain and not to actually eat the fruits that he's working with. So he could do that Aladei Atzmai, for his own labor that he's working, or Aladei B'nai B'Tagadayil, more for his adult sons and daughters, who are working somewhere, and the father can make up with that employer to say, look, I don't want my kids to be able to eat when they're working. I would rather get the monetary worth. He could do it all day avdei v'shev chasei hagadolim. He could do it for his adult male and female servants. V'adei ishtei, he could do it for his wife's job. And the reason is b'nei sheyesh ben das, because these individuals that were just mentioned have intelligence, and they know what the husband or the father or their owner is doing, and therefore they're meichel, they forgive their ability to be able to eat. And rather, it's transferred into monetary value through what the father is doing. Avol bar ain't the kaitzes, but this stipulation cannot be by the man loyal de benoy b'taketanim, not for his minor sons and daughters. The loyal de avdi v'shav chazaketan, not for his minor male and female servants, slaves. The loyal de behemta, neither for his animal, meaning when his animal is working somewhere to muzzle it and instead take the monetary gain. Because these individuals do not have intelligence, and therefore they can't be meichel, and therefore they cannot be transferred their rights by the owner, by the father, by this baal to go into monetary gain. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, Kasalka daitach b'malehen mezainis. The assumption of the Gemara was that these individuals that are being mentioned over here they're being provided the sustenance by the man, by the homeowner, meaning by the father, the husband, by this owner. And therefore, their profit that they're working, their wage, goes to him. That's how it works. But he provides for them, and what they work goes to him. So says the Gemara, Iyamid Bishleim and Mishal Shemaim Hoechel, if you entertain to say that the workers' gain, what they could eat from, is a heavenly gift, Bisham Hachi in the Kaitzes. So that would explain the halacha of this Mishnah. When we're talking about the minor slaves, that he cannot make that stipulation. And the reason for that is because it's not like the minor worker has any merits that the owner could stipulate. It's only a gift from heaven. It's not that they owned those rights. That was the svar of Mishalayhu Oichel, like he could give it to his wife and children. Mishal Shemaim is, it's just heaven gives you a gift. So only when the minor slave puts it in his mouth is when he merits it. So therefore, that's why the owner cannot stipulate. But if you say that the worker's right is what he eats is from his own, as if he owns it, and it's like an addition to the wage that he's getting, so then the question is, why is it that the owner cannot make the stipulation? In other words, just like their wage goes to him, so to what they eat, which is part of the wage, also goes to him. So Gitanin Nami Nokutzlu. So why did we say that by minor slaves he can't not make the stipulation? If you hold Mishalahu Eichel, you should be allowed to make that stipulation. So I think our answer is Nahachmaiskin, and what are we talking about over here is actually Bisha'im Ma'alamazainas. The case that we're talking about over here is where he's not providing for their sustenance. And actually their wage that they get does not go to him. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that the master cannot tell the slave, Aseimi Veinizanach, that I want you to work for me, meaning whatever you work, your wage goes to me, and still I'm not going to feed you, which actually machlikism sechtis get enough, you'd beizim and alf. So therefore, since he cannot say that, so therefore, what they're working doesn't go to him. That includes what they could eat, and therefore he cannot make that stipulation. Now, moreover, one's animal, since his negative prohibition of leisachsim sharbedishai, even when the owner himself is threshing with his animal, he's not allowed to muzzle it, so too he cannot make that stipulation for another person. Now, the Gemara asks, but ihachi gedel nami. But then, if that's the case, than by adult slaves also. In other words, if you say that the case would be as we assumed before, that it's talking about b'malu mazonis, that he's feeding them, and as we said before, mishal shemayim hu eichel, so that would make sense where he could make the stipulation by adults, because since he's feeding them, so they forgive the rights to it with a full heart, and they let that the owner could go ahead and take the monetary value instead. But if you say, as the Gemara is answering now, that it's b'she'in ma'ala mazainis, where he's not feeding them anything, so why did we say that by adults he could stipulate, where even though that they're adults and they have intelligence and they could be meichel, but they're not really agreeable with a full heart, because since he's not really feeding them, they're only agreeing out of fear, and they're being forced to that. That the Gemara answers, g'day l'myad v'kom achli, in spite of that, that adults, they're aware of what the master is doing, and even when they're not being fed, they're meichel b'leiv shalom, they're still forgiving, and they let the master do that. That's why that works, even when they're not being fed, for the owner to go ahead and transfer their rights of eating into monetary value instead. Now, however, on this the Gemara asks, v'atanid Reb Hoshea. Reb Hoshea taught following b'raisa, said, kaitzitz adam al de'atzmai v'adei ish. They said a person could make the stipulation to transfer, instead of the ability to eat, into money, both when he's working or when his wife's working at a job. But as we said, you can never do that with an animal, because that's the negative prohibition of Lesachsim Shabbadishai. The animal has to be allowed to eat when it's working. Now, he could do this transfer by his adult sons and daughters. But he cannot do this for his minor sons and daughters. Now, so far everything was as we had said before. But, continues Reb Hoshea, it says, he could make this stipulation for his non-Jewish male or female slaves, ben gedoylim u ben ketanim, he says, whether they're adults or minors. So now we have a contradiction, what we just explained, regarding minor slaves of our Mishnah, which said that you cannot make the stipulation, and the Brisa of Reb Hoshea that said that you could make the stipulation. So says the Gemara, my love, so isn't it, and this is what we're going to prove regarding this question that we're discussing here on this daf regarding is it Mishel Mishalayhu Eichel or Mishal Shemayim Eichel, says the Gemara, isn't it that Idi v'Idi? Isn't it that both the Tanya, the Mishnah, and this price of Reb Hoshea hold? They're both talking about B'malam Mazainis, that the slaves are fed by the owner. And therefore, not like the way we just tried answering before, that's B'she'in Malam Mazainis. Must it not be talking about that they both hold, that we're talking about that the slaves are being fed by the owner? Well, B'hokim Ilfgan, this is what they're disagreeing. The Maris over the time of the Brice Reb Hoshea holds Mishalayhu Eichel, that the worker eats from his own, it's like he owns it, and therefore since he owns it, and his owner is that owns the slave, is who's the worker, is feeding him, and therefore his wage, including what's included in Mishalayhu Eichel, is what he gets to eat, goes to the owner. That's why the owner can make that stipulation for all the slaves. Umar Sava, but the Tana of the Mishnah held, no Mishal Shemaim Hu Eichel, it's that the worker only eats as a gift from heaven. So therefore, the owner has no rights in what he's eating. And therefore, even though he gets their wage, but he doesn't get their food that they're eating, because it's not theirs to say that it goes to him, even though he gets their wage, until it goes into their mouth. And that's why you cannot make that stipulation for the minor slaves. So therefore, isn't this the machlekes of Mishalayhu Eichel, Mishalayhu Eichel, Mishal Shemayim Eichel? Says the Gemara, no. The Kula Ama Mishalayhu Eichel Bleikasher. We can really say that everyone holds that he eats from his own stuff. But it's not difficult, because Khan, in our Mishnah, is b'she'ein ma'alhem mazainis, is talking about where they're actually not being fed, as we just answered before. U'braisa ma'alhem mazainis, and the braisa is talking about where this slave is being fed, and since he's being fed, so then, since it's b'she'alayhu eichel, and therefore, since his wage goes to the master, so too, the produce that he's eating, which is part of the wage, also goes to the owner. Now, this the Gemara asks, b'maya kimtu, how did you just explain the braisa of Reb Hoshea? You explained it. B'ma'alhem mazainis, you wanted to say that everyone holds b'she'alayhu eichel. And so how do we understand why this Mishnah on the next daf says that you cannot stipulate with the minor to transfer the money, to go to the master, and Reb Hoshea says that you could. Is Reb Hoshea talking about where he feeds him, and says the Mishaloi, so just like the wage goes to the master, so too now the food goes to the master. That asked the Gemara, hiachi, but if that's the case, then ketanim, then forget about, you're explaining why the minors by slaves go to the master. But then minors by his own children, his sons and his daughters, then nami nakatz lahu, then that he should be able to make the stipulation there too, why is it that he only permitted by minor slaves? It should be permitted to do even by minor children too. Because you're saying that when you feed them, that goes, the work goes to the father. So then if you're saying that what they eat is also part of the wage, that should also go to the father. Why did the Rebbe Yishaya say, like the Mishnah, that you cannot make this ketzitza by children that are minors? So I think Gemara says, no, children are different. Because Sarayu debenoyu bita katanim leizach le'rachman. The Torah did not give the rights, although the father, yes, has all the rights in his children, and when there's a mitziah, and so too when they work, it goes to the father. But when it's something of their pain, where they're working and they can't eat the things that they're in the canteen working and they can't eat from what they're working with, that the Torah didn't give the rights, whereas Tosafot says possibly that's rabbinic. But that there's no rights, and therefore by slaves, yes, but by minor children, that the Torah didn't give those rights. So that's not a difficulty. But the Gemara continues asking, says, "B'mayi kim de lemasnin." How you explain the case of the Mishnah on the next daf? You're saying, "B'she'in ma'al lehem azaynus," where the father, where the master is not feeding this worker, this slave of theirs. And you explain that truth is that mishalayhu oichel, when the worker eats, it's from his own things. But it's because that the owner is not feeding his slave, that's why he cannot make the stipulation. But if he would feed him, then you said like the price of Rapaishia, then he would be able to make the stipulation. On that, as the Gemara, as we continue to talk about Gemara Aleph, Honich Laman D'Amar. This makes sense according to the opinion, which this is a Machloikis of Masechtas Gittin, that says, Ein HaRav Yochel Loimer LeEved, that a master cannot tell his non-Jewish slave, Aseimi Vein Yizanach, that I want you to work with me, but I'm not going to feed you, so shaper. So that makes sense, because since he's not feeding them, so he can't require their wage to go to him. So since he's not feeding them, in this case of that Mishnah, so therefore that's why he can't make the stipulation by the minors, by the adults, even though he's not feeding them, but they're okay with it, they're meichel, minors cannot, and therefore the wage doesn't automatically go to him. But Elmanda Amar Yochel Rav Loim LeEved Aseimi Vein Yizanach. But according to the opinion there, Masechtas Gittin, it says that the master could do that. He could tell them, I'm not feeding you, and yet in spite of that, your wage goes to me. So my commandment, what are you going to say? If you're saying that the Mishnah holds Mishalayhu Eichel, and you don't want to say that the Machlek is Rapesha and the Mishnah is telling this Machlek is Mishal Shemaim Eichel or Mishalayhu Eichel, then what are you going to say? Then he should be allowed to go ahead and do this Ketzitza even by the slaves that are minors, because he has the rights to their wage, even though he's not feeding them. And that includes, if you say Mishalayhu Eichel, the food that they eat. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. Actually, both the Mishnah and the Brice are talking about where the master is not feeding the slaves. And everyone holds Mishalayhu Eichel, as we're trying to say, that it's not totally in this, the Machlekes is not totally in this Shaila, but rather both will hold that the worker eats from his own things. Now, Ubhopligi, and it's regarding this point that they disagree. The Mar Savar Yachel, the Tana of the Brice holds that you're right, that the master, although he's not feeding them, could tell the slave, Aseimi Vein Yizanach. And therefore, even though he's not feeding them, he could still make the stipulation by even minor slaves. But Amar Savein Yachel, but the Tana of the Mishnah holds that no, that he cannot say that because he's not feeding them, so therefore he doesn't get the wage, and therefore he doesn't get the wage, that's why he cannot make the ketzitza by the minor slaves. Now, the Sigmar still asks on this. But Rabbi Yechanan, the Amar Yochel Rab, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he's on record as saying that the master could tell the slave, I want you to work for me, even though I'm not feeding you. So it comes out the way you're describing this Machlek is in the Mishnah and the Brice Rabbi Yishaya, that Shavak Mes Nitin of Ovid Kebrisa, that Rabbi Yechanan is leaving the Psak of a Mishnah and going like a Brisa. The Mishnah is always primary. But according to the way you're explaining, it's only the Brisa holds you could say that, but the Mishnah holds you cannot. So Ella rather says the Gemara, the Kuli Alma Mishal Shemaim Oichel. No, we still don't want to agree that this machlekes is the machlekes of Mishal Shemaim or Mishalai. We want everyone to be uniform. So no, you're right. Everyone agrees that what the worker eats is a gift from heaven. And therefore, even if the owner provides sustenance for his slave, the halacha is v'loy motzi katzitz. Then by minor slaves, he still cannot make the stipulation because you can't, even though you get his wage, and moreover, you've been feeding him, doesn't make a difference because it's a heavenly gift. He has no rights to give it, even if his wages go to his master. It's only when he puts it in his mouth. It's only then he's the only one that has the rights for that gift. Now, if that's the case, everyone agrees that you cannot. So my kodesh is done by Rabbi. So what does Rabbi mean when he said in the Brisa that by a minor slave that you could make a stipulation? Didn't we just say everyone holds that it's Mishal Shemaim and you cannot make that ketzitza? It actually means, it refers to something very different. It refers to mezaynus. It means that the plantation owner could tell the owner of the slave, who that slave is going to be working for him, He tells the owner of the slave, do me a favor, feed your slave a lot of food before he comes to work for me so that it doesn't eat up my whole vineyard. Now, it's regarding that we're saying that he could pay him, the one who's working, the one who's renting the slave, could pay the owner of the slave beforehand to make sure that he does that. So that's when it says that cuts is, they can make that stipulation that he'll have to pay him for feeding his slave so that he won't be so hungry to eat by his produce. But you're right, the halacha of ketzitza, of that what he does eat should not be allowed to, and that gets transferred to the master? No, even Rav Hashi would agree that you can't do that. Now that the Gemara asks, wait, if that's your new interpretation of what Rav Hashi means by ketzitza, it means that the plantation owner could stipulate with the owner of the slave to feed him that he's not going to be so hungry. But then the kavasei gabe behemtei. One of the other cases mentioned over there was regarding his animal. There we said that everyone agrees that by an animal, you cannot make a ketzitza. But why? Why is it forbidden? Teven nokutzla, let the owner of the plantation make up with the owner of the animal to feed the animal before it comes to work. You're right, we can't muzzle it, but give it a lot of straw to eat. I don't want to eat my produce that it's working for. And actually, we learned in the Braisa that the balabais is allowed to open up a pile of straw to have it eat before, and so that it's not so hungry. But if you're explaining that this ketzitza that you're allowed to do by the minor slave means making up to eat beforehand, so then why can't you do it by an animal? Why by an animal is forbidden? Sailor Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. And it goes back to what the Gemara had said beforehand. There must be b'hakim mifugi, what the machleik is, Rav Hashi in the Braisa, and the coming Mishnah is the mar savar, that the Tana, the Braisa, Rav Hashi holds, mishalayhu oichel. You're right, that the worker eats from his own things. Now, according to Rav Yechanan, that would be whether if the owner gives him food to eat, or whether he does not give him food to eat, because Rav Yechanan again holds that the master could tell the slave, asay imi veini zanach. And therefore, since it's mishalayhu oichel, that's why Rav Hashi said that the master of the slave could stipulate, even if he's a minor, and it does go to the master. Whereas the one who disputes Rav Yechanan would hold that, no, it's only talking about that if the master actually feeds the slave, then his wage goes to him. And therefore, then what the payrus that he eats is also considered part of the wage if you hold mishalayhu oichel, which is what Rav Hashi in the Braisa holds. And then it would go to the master. Mar sava, but the Tana of our Mishnah holds Mishal Shemayim Oichel, that no, he only eats as a gift from heaven, and therefore even if the master is giving him food to eat, therefore the Mishnah said he cannot go ahead and make the stipulation, because even if he's feeding him and his wage goes to him, but this is not considered wage, this is Mishal Shemayim Oichel. So the question we have in this daf, the Gemara concludes, is actually machlekes between Rav Hashi and the Braisa and the Mishnah on the coming daf, regarding if we say Mishalayhu Oichel or Mishal Shemayim Oichel. If it's Mishalayhu Oichel, then the minor slave, just like his wage goes to the master, again, according to either opinion, if you hold it's only when he's feeding him or not, that included what he eats could be stipulated by the master because it's considered like part of his wage to go to the master in monetary form instead of what the slave eats. Whereas if you hold that it's Mishal Shemayim Oichel, like the coming Mishnah, then you cannot go ahead and do that because it's not something that's part of his wage. It's considered a gift. And therefore, even if he's feeding the minor slave doesn't have das to be Meichel and therefore doesn't go automatically to the master. Therefore, then he cannot make that stipulation and the minor slave has to be let to eat the food that he's working with.